The following podcast contains adult themes and adult language. Listener discretion advised.
And although we joke, if you or someone you know is affected by or a victim of domestic violence, dial 1-800-799-7233 or visit the National Domestic Violence Hotline's website, thehotline.org.
It's always the husband, it's always the husband, it's always the husband.
Hey everybody, it's Sarah.
And this is Megan.
You're listening to It's Always the Husband podcast.
Welcome.
Yay, we're glad you're listening. Thank you.
Yeah. Are you new here? If you're new here, welcome. Are you old here? So are we.
Right.
Old as shit.
Foot in the grave.
Foot in grave.
Hey. As you're unwrapping a booze.
Yep. I'm getting ready for my first Prosecco of the week.
Oh.
I didn't drink yesterday during our fake snowstorm.
No.
So stayed sober for a day.
How come?
I don't know. I actually didn't drink heavily this weekend. I had a couple drinks here and there. And
no.
What did you do?
I didn't do nothing. I did nothing. I looked at nothing. I just sat and stared at the wall.
You did some...
Oh, no. I mean, I had to go see...
You said you went away.
No, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were in town, and they have a baby. So I saw the baby.
Cute.
That was nice.
I've been having horrible baby cravings lately.
No! Why?
I don't know.
This is terrible news.
I mean, I don't want to have one. Well, oh. I can't because I have no uterus.
Well.
But I just want... babies, like I Mm-mm. want to hold them. I'm like, I can't wait to be a grandma.
They're cute.
Those are the thoughts that are coming
absolutely
through my head.
Not.
Oh, why would I think something like
Ish, that? That is just terrible.
I know it must be crazy hormones.
I guess.
But
that was cute. So I saw Jamie's, and then
what
Jamie,
is the baby's name?
Bo.
Oh.
So baby
like
Bo.
Bo.
He's
Duke?
Cute. Cute.
Bo Duke Nelson?
Yeah. It is. Oh, kitty.
Randy really wants some loving right now.
Oh. Yeah, Jamie was going to stay. I drove separately to the town where his mom lives and his brothers were there and their families. And Jamie was going to stay and hang out. And I just was going to come home and clean my filthy, filthy house and just go to bed at like 4 p.m.
Yeah.
And so I did go to bed and Jamie said he was going to stay and they were going to have a party with his friends that were in town and hang out with his brothers and come home Sunday. You know, he was going to stay overnight. So then I'm in bed and it's like, I don't know. I don't even know what time it was, but I hear the doorbell ring and I was like, I'm not answering it. So I'm in my pajamas and I have no bra and I look like shit and I'm half asleep. And I'm the co-host of a true crime podcast. I don't answer the goddamn
right.
door. And I'll never answer the door.
You
I don't
remember.
Care who you are. If you ring the doorbell, I'm not going to answer the door.
What happened to that doctor on Halloween?
Well, I mean, everybody lets in their killer. Half the shows. And I was like, I'm not answering the door. If you're selling something or whatever, I don't know.
Not at midnight.
No. And then the door rang again and then rang again. And I'm like, if it's Jamie, come in the goddamn house. Why can't you just come in? So I thought it can't be him. And then he didn't tell me he was coming home.
Right. He said
but
he
I know he
overnight.
Always does this. Every time he says he's not going to come home, he comes home at 2:30 p.m. and walks in and there's a terrible offensive man shadow in my room. And it's
no.
just like a million times the 2:30 a.m. and there's a big ugly man in your room. And all you see is just a man horrifying
with a big
over and over. I'm like, oh, my
boner.
God. Like, why did you come home? You said you weren't coming home. And now there's a big ugly man in my room. You're lucky I don't have like a shotgun. It'd shoot you right in the balls every time. He does this a million times. So I thought, oh my God. Well, then I had to get dressed, like at least put on a bra. What if it's like a neighbor or something that I'm like, I don't want to help in a crisis
no.
right now. I'm tired.
No.
And so I at least changed. And then it was Jamie and all his stuff at the door. And so he's screaming at me, why did you open the door? And I said, I didn't know it was you. Why didn't you just come in? well, we have like a punch code numbered thing. And he said, the batteries went out, so I can't get in the door. I'm like, well, I didn't know because I always go into the garage. I never go in the front door. I'm like, well, replace the batteries. I don't know. So he had been there yelling, and I sleep with a fan that's like as loud as a 747. I said, I didn't hear a thing. I heard the doorbell, but I said, I'm not, I'm home alone. I'm not answering the door. So we're screaming at each other. I'm yelling, I'm not going to answer the door. And he's like, did you hear me? I'm here yelling. I'm sure the neighbors were just like dying. And then he's like, oh my God, they must have thought I was like, you locked me out. And here I'm screaming for you to lock me back in. And oh my God, we were dying.
What, like, what time was it?
Did I think it was like 9:30. But I was like, I didn't think you were coming home. Why do you do this every time? And he's like, I just wanted to come home.
Aww. I'm like, oh,
all right. But, and then I was like, did, why don't you just text like a normal person? Tell me what you're doing. And he said, I did. And I was like, oh, and yeah, and he had, I didn't see it. So,
well, I texted you today too. And I didn't. I was like, are you ready?
No, I didn't respond at all.
I didn't. I was waiting, waiting.
I didn't
know. Finally, I just drove over.
Thank you.
Oh, thank girl.
No, I think I just, well, I took a nap and then I just didn't even notice. I didn't care to look at my phone, even though I knew I did work tonight.
You're a late nap taker, too.
I am.
So I like to, too. My husband just can't believe that I do, like, that I can.
No, I would die if I couldn't, because I can't. Well, and I'm a terrible sleeper.
Yeah. But then I still sleep at night.
No, I never sleep at night.
I know.
And then I was at work, and I walked in the door of my work, which is a pure, which is walking into the gates of hell. This, the fire and the three-headed dog and all of that greet me as I walk in. Just underworld, hell, skeletons, all of that at 5:59 this morning.
Why do you get out of bed?
Well, because it's nice. When do I get out? I wake up at 4:45. That's why I'm always tired.
But on purpose?
Yes.
You set an alarm.
Yeah.
Why, Sarah?
Because I work better. I can't, after... after these goddamn kids leave, I have nothing left, like zero. I can't work. So I work in the morning, a whole hour where no one's in the building. It's golden. I love it. That's the only time I can get stuff done. And you can't work at work.
No.
I mean, so you're fucked.
Right.
But I can in the morning. I can function.
Hmm.
So that's why I'm always tired and go to bed at 4. So wake up at 4:45.
Wow. I thought you just, I mean, I've known you for 100 years. I thought that you just didn't sleep, so you just came to work.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't sleep, but I do like to be at work when no one else is there.
Wow. That's early.
It is.
I have a hard time getting up at 6.
I'm already at work.
Yeah. I struggle.
It's glorious.
I'm on the struggle bus.
You can have a diarrhea and no one is there.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's a glorious time for diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, do you have anything in your week that you enjoyed? Anything?
I do. Well,
Andy,
my dance mom friends went out without me on Saturday.
Well, they texted me too, and they said that they didn't like you very much, and they were planning a time to go out when you weren't there.
And they knew Eloise had honor choir.
Yeah, they planned it then so that you for sure wouldn't be around.
Basically Beyonce.
She is. Although her and her friends were singing today in class, and I said, I swear to God, if you keep it up, there's going to be a revolt and a mob.
What were they singing?
Something like super annoying.
I bet it was like an angel chorus.
100 bottles of beer in the world. Blah, 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 blah. And it's supposed to be work time. And I was like, I swear to God.
No, Eloise.
No, but they're angel voices.
Auntie Sarah. Anyway, so I was proud mom because I love choir and I'm a choir nerd. And she's
extremely talented.
She is just so cute. So she was in honor choir. And so I went to the concert while the rest of my friends went out. And let me tell you, they did it up. There was a picture on Sunday morning that came to me of my friend Mary's hands, and they were literally black and blue, because she had taken the tambourine.
Was she given handies and hit it to a
so hard against her hand for so penguin? Long, for hours at a time.
That where she was she with the tambourine?
They were at Music Bingo.
Oh, Jesus.
And you know how much I love Music Bingo.
Oh.
Anyway.
I could be around some fool doing a tambourine for hours. Oh, I would have lost it. I would have been like, girls, there will be an angry mob with pitchforks if you keep this shit up.
Please put the tambourine down.
No. Well, that's too bad. I'm sorry.
So I had a little bit of FOMO, but one thing that has been giving me, I don't know, I guess entertaining me is I follow, because I'm pretty sure I'm in menopause. I mean, I don't know because I don't have a uterus.
Nobody knows because nobody told us anything about it. Nobody knows anything
nobody knows
about it.
Anything
doctors
about
don't
it.
Know anything about it. When does it start? When does it end? How do you know you're in it? What do you do? I have no idea.
Why?
Can it last 15 years? Can it last 10 years? Yeah. Can it last 1 year? When are you done? What do you do? What's happened? What's the help?
It looked like I shoved a gigantic pillow in the front of my gut and behind
why am
my
I
back.
A giant bloated fat ass?
Yeah.
Why does my back always hurt? Why am
right.
I always so hot I feel like I could die?
Right.
Why am I so crabby that I feel like I could just slap the shit out of everyone I meet?
Why do I have 1,000 zits on my chin
and the beards,
every morning?
The beards and the mustaches. What?
Yes. Why do I have a hair coming right out of my Adam's apple
no.
in my
why
neck?
Is and your butthole and area always so gross? I did really hear about that butthole, that anus eating disease, and it has a mortality rate of 30%.
I was waiting for you to send an actual article.
I have to find, I don't know what it is, but there is a new anus eating virus, and the mortality rate is 30%.
Sarah!
I just read about it.
Sarah loves to scare me.
Well, I cared about my friend's anuses, and I sent it.
She scares me with volcano articles and like flesh eating disease articles or just any disease pandemic articles. Anyway, so because I have just been feeling the effects of menopause, I started kind of looking into it. Like I started following the glucose goddess. I can't believe it. I can't remember if I talked to you about it or not. And so I've just been looking at these health and wellness things. Now, like, obviously, I'm not going to exercise, okay? That's just not
I'm not going to exercise. I'm not going to eat healthy. I'm not going to stop boozing and doing coke.
I'm going to stop drinking.
Yeah.
But I will look into some other things. So, like, I went gluten-free, and it's helped me immensely. But I follow this woman, and if you don't follow her, you should. She's an OBGYN. Her name is Dr. Mary Claire Haver, MD, and I follow her on Instagram, and she wrote a book called The New Menopause, and she also founded the Galveston Diet, which is for women in menopause. I have no idea what it's about because I haven't even looked that close into it, but I just like listening to her because she affirms what I'm feeling.
Nice.
And when I talk to my husband,
no, they don't
he
care.
Just thinks it's fake.
Well, of course, like, because they have a dick and they're dumb as shit.
Yeah. He's like, just go try working out something. Like, I don't want to be like you. I just feel weird and my body feels different. And
you're supposed to be dead. Women are supposed to be dead.
And he just doesn't get it. And
no.
And I hate him.
No, they don't get it because no one does.
Yeah. So I like her because she cares. So you can follow her, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, MD. And then she also, there's a page for her diet called the Galveston Diet.
Good for her.
That gives you some like kind of fitness health tips. I don't know. She also has some supplements called the Paws. Like that's what they're called. Mm-hmm. And again, I haven't ordered any or prescribed any. I just like listening to her. She just did an interview with, what the hell's her name? The inspirational lady with the dark glasses. Why can't I? Because I follow her too. And anyway, I'll think of it later, but
she has transitions?
She has transitions.
Oh, I don't know.
You do know. I'll find it. Okay, anyway, that's mine.
We'll be back after a quick break. Are you a huge cunt?
Us too. Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
Mine, we had listener Melissa Park send us a message and said it's a show you have to watch, and it's on Netflix, and it's called Homicide.
Okay, time out. Her name is Mel Robbins.
Oh, I hate Mel Robbins.
Okay.
Oh!
You're not going to like Dr. Mary Claire Haver.
Oh.
You don't like...
Mel Robbins was...
Grifters.
Yes. Mel Robbins was in that whole... It's in that whole thing. She's in that whole group. Of fucking assholes.
I know.
She sucks, in my opinion, donkey dick.
I know.
But if she helps someone feel better about menopause, whatever. But
I don't
feel
know
like
if she does. She just
dick.
She has her own podcast, so she interviewed Dr. Mary Claire Haver.
Oh, I see.
That's just how I... And for some reason, she comes up in my Instagram feed. And so then I started following Mary Claire. Okay.
Maybe people don't, but who cares what I think?
Everyone cares.
Sarah. No, but I think Mel Robbins is just, I don't know. What do I know?
Okay.
She's a Hollis adjacent, and that whole, those two, I can't even.
Yeah.
Anyway, the show that Melissa Park recommended was called Homicide New York.
Uh-huh.
And it's on Netflix. And it's 5 episodes, and I started with the first one, and then you can't stop.
Really?
So it's about Manhattan has two detective. I mean, they have all these precincts, but they're you're either a Manhattan's North detective or you're a Manhattan's South detective.
Okay.
And so wherever the crime happens, like North takes it or South takes it. And so it's just like 5 of the weirdest or most horrible, you know, they're horrible crimes, and they're just recanting like from start to finish of the crime what it took to solve.
So is this real?
Yes, it's real. So it's the real cops.
It's like docudrama.
DA, the family members, for the whole crime. And it's fascinating.
So it's not like Law and Order.
No, it's real. So it's the real, it's the real cops that solved it and what they had to do.
Okay.
The victims' families. Like there's a lady.
What's it on?
It's on Netflix. It's amazing.
No way.
Yeah. You just won't stop. It's just fascinating. And then all just how hard these cops work.
Yeah.
And how hard they, you know, they give up everything in their time, and just everybody, even the DA or there's a lady that she's just like, I think she works out of the coroner office, but she's in charge of the body. So she goes and studies like what did the body look like when it was found, and what are the injuries, you know, and she takes all that data and evidence and puts it in. And, I don't know. It was just, it's fascinating.
Cool.
And crimes that I kind of remember hearing about, but, they're pretty famous, but then they're also just their most horrifying. You know, I don't know. It was, once you start, if you're a true crime person, you can't stop. You got to watch them all. And it's just
awesome.
These people, I mean, God, just assholes everywhere. But New York City, I don't know. They said at one point, I don't know if it was just Manhattan or New York City, but in the 90s, there were 2,000 murders a year. So can you imagine, you just get a case and then the next day there's like 6 more. And then the next
That's
day there's
why
like 6
everyone
more.
Everyone loved Giuliani for a while because they were like, he's tough on crime. And then people
They said after the 90s and 2000s, it went down dramatically. But the 80s and 90s, like just everywhere you went.
Yeah.
And like Central Park was like, they wouldn't be there at dark for anything.
And
I mean,
murdered everywhere.
Jesus. I don't know. But yeah, my God, it was really good. So good job, Melissa Park.
Thanks,
I loved
Melissa.
It.
Melissa.
And we also have a Facebook group, don't we?
We sure do.
And Instagram, you can follow us on. I should put more stuff on there, but we do every week, like put stuff on.
Yeah, it's just easier to go back and forth on Facebook. You know what I mean? Like you can reply to other people.
True.
I feel more fellowship.
Yeah. We have a Facebook group and we like to pick one I thought was there's very good like reels and TikToks this week.
Yeah, there was. So our group is called It's Always the Husband Podcast
Group.
Group.
I enjoyed the one Fallon Berger sent in.
Oh, Fallon.
It was a picture of like a sexy bra. Like if you know, like if you ever got a bra that's just a line and the boob is out. It's like a harness around the boob.
I mean, I would never buy that kind of a bra,
because it would just look like a foolish on me. But if you were sexy, maybe like a harness, a vampire harness with your boobs out, maybe look nice. But the husband saw the vampire boob harness and thought it was a cat harness. And so it struggled the cat into it and then took a picture. And the wife is like, no. I mean, that was so funny. Just seeing the cat in the sexy lingerie thinking it's a cat harness. It just hit me. I giggled.
I'm gonna
like
take
just
this
silly
cat
giggles.
For a walk.
Yeah.
Now, dear.
I thought that was pretty good. Of course a husband, you know, would. I put it on the cat. I don't know. Why would you have it? The boobs would just hang right out of it.
I just threw away all of my underwear from 15 years ago when we got married. And or how many years ago? 13 or something. I had like my underwear literally that I wore on our wedding night because it said like bride or something on the butt.
It said run.
Yeah. It said keep your wits about you, anus. This is a do not enter.
Yeah.
And I had like all these other, I don't know, like I must have tried, I don't remember this, but I must have had sexy underwear. And they have just been in my drawers forever. And 100 babies later and a hysterectomy later and 1,000 gushing periods later, I was like, why do I even have these? I hate thong underwear because they go up my asshole and I can feel it all day. They're not comfortable. I don't know how, but my ass is too big. So it just folds around it and it feels like there's something rubbing up there. Whatever. So I just threw them all away. And then Phil took out the garbage and he was like, it's real sad to see those go. And I was like, what are you talking about? I haven't worn them.
Maybe he used to like crank it to them when he was
alone. 13 years.
And sniff them and such.
They had to all be from when we were dating because as soon as we got married, we got pregnant, had a baby.
You were pregnant
and then it was over. Yeah.
Like the day of.
The day of my wedding, I basically got pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got married in March and I had Eloise in January.
Yeah.
So I know I haven't worn them for 12 years or 13 years. And so I threw those away. Anyway, my Facebook funny was from Lizzie DiCamillo. And I laughed so hard. I kept laughing. Every time I look at it, I still laugh. It was the picture of the guy leaning over the chair that the woman was sitting in. And she says, in a little thought or in a little speech bubble, go away, Stephen. And then he says, it's Stephen with a PH. And then she says, go away, Stephen.
I love that one.
It's so funny.
You take your PH, Stephen, and you shove it up your piss hole. Your fist hole.
Go away, Stephen.
Oh, that's so good. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was my favorite. So thanks, Lizzie.
Yes. So on to our crime. If you're new, you're like, what the hell is this terrible podcast just talking about these two pig women?
And if you're old, you're like, Sarah's already got on a rant about menopause.
I've already ranted it multiple times. Jeez.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, we are doing March notable female killers. For March is International Women's Month.
It's the women, month of
women. Hey, women, let's clap our hands for you and say, way to go, dumbass. Now sweep the floor.
Right.
So our woman, we watched a new show. Our show I had not watched because I didn't think it would apply to us, but it did for this episode. And the show is also on Netflix and it is called Worst Roommate Ever. And it's the episode is the first one. It's called Call Me Grandma. And
which I don't know. Oh,
well, there was one little thing, one little moment that got that. But it is about a dumbass bitch named Dorothea Puente.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a true crimer, you already know about this dumbass bitch. But we're going to show you how she was portrayed in Worst Roommate Ever. And before we start, I have a list for you of TV's best, greatest roommates. We'll see what you think.
Okay, well, can I tell you the ones that I came up with, like, just, or will that ruin
no,
it?
No, if it's one you
see
came up with, say,
that
we'll say
I
you did.
Came up
we'll see
with.
How many that you came up with.
We like, just, like, talked about it. We were like, what roommates
this
can
is
we
one that you
shows?
Didn't come up with. I didn't even think of either, and we should be ashamed of ourselves. Ashamed!
Who is it?
Blanche, Rose, Dorothy, and Sophia. Oh, we never even thought of them. The Golden Girls. Greatest roommates ever.
That
obviously. They're the winners, hands down, done with the list. That's it.
Top of our list.
I know. The
they're
Golden
all
Girls,
over
of course.
My, they're right in front of my face.
Well, of course, they're
everywhere.
All over the whole room we're in. I didn't
my
even think
God.
Of it. But obviously, the Golden Girls. Greatest roommate show ever.
Yep.
And then these two, Chandler and Joey. We didn't come up with any friends.
I didn't even think of them.
But the friends, obviously.
I went like way back.
I know, we did. We went way back. Mm-hmm. But this one you had.
Okay.
Oscar and Felix.
I did.
Yep. The Odd Couple. And Felix was Felix Unger. And the joke was that he always wrote F-U on everything.
Yep.
And Oscar was like, why the hell are you so mad? And then Felix was like, that's my initials. F-U. So Oscar and Felix, the Odd Couple. One was like a type A and one was like a type B.
Right.
Was that it?
Right. Yeah.
Leonard and Sheldon from Big Bang.
Okay.
I guess. True.
I didn't really watch that.
I didn't either. But I feel like Bert and Ernie were kind of like, so those two were pretty good.
Yeah.
Kip and Henry.
I said that. Bosom Buddies.
Yes, you did. Okay, I didn't hear that one, but yes. Bosom Buddies. That's a great one.
Yeah.
And these are fellas that had to dress like gals to live in, to get a cheap apartment in New York City.
Yep. Sort of akin to Three's Company when Jack had to act
Jack had
gay.
To pretend to be gay. And he wasn't to live with two girls because you couldn't do what you wanted for some reason. I don't know. Did we come up with this one? These two gals, Laverne and Shirley?
No!
I know we didn't. And they're two ass. Who are the Squiggy and Lenny?
Yes.
And Shirley's boyfriend, Carmine.
Oh, and Lenny and Squiggy.
Lenny and Squiggy. Is that it?
That's all they gave you?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
So you came up with more.
I came up with Mork and Mindy.
Yes, of course.
And then I also came up with one of my favorite shows from the 80s, Kate and Allie.
Kate and Allie. And they were both like either
divorced.
They were
single moms. Yeah. And they were raising their kids together. Because of course you can't afford your own house in New York.
Well, no.
When you're raising kids and you're deadbeat dads.
Right.
So you do it together. That's always been kind of the dream of our whole friend group is like we just all raised our kids together and lived together.
I know, and didn't have any husbands around.
And then the other last one I said was my other favorite, Jess and Winston and Schmidt and Nick from New
Girl.
That
was on a light list too.
That was?
Yeah.
Okay.
But and I'm sure there's some more missing, but just write in.
Yeah.
And let us know. Anyway, let's start. Okay, so Worst Roommate Ever. I kind of liked because their reenactments were cartoons. And I liked it because the cartoons were kind of scary and foreboding
weird.
And weird.
It was like, have you ever watched the cartoon Archer?
I know of it. I haven't really watched.
That's kind of what it reminded me of.
Yes, kind of. The animation was like that.
Yeah.
So this crime takes place in the 80s. So mainly we're going to be bumping back and forth between 82 and 88 in the lovely California city of Sacramento. The show opens with an 80s commercial.
It's the capital, Sarah.
Yeah. Of saying, come on and come live in Sacramento. It's mm-hmm. great here. We got like nice neighborhood and things are nice. Mm-hmm. And I looked in 80. Well, currently the average home cost in Sacramento, California today, 2024.
Yes.
Is $415,000. That's way less than I thought for California.
Yeah, because that's about what ours is.
Yes. And then I looked, though, at Santa Monica, California, where Jack Tripper and Chrissy and Janet lived. The average home is $1.7
million. Yeah.
And then San Diego, where I used to live, the average home is $940,000.
Yes.
So our kind isn't allowed there.
No.
But in 1988... Sacramento average home price was $179,000. And I feel like that's a little pricey, and 88 for Minnesota was cheaper.
Yeah, probably.
But anyway, these were large, nice homes or whatever in this commercial. It's like, these are giant homes and looks real nice. But then they switch immediately to all the homeless that are in Sacramento, and they talk about the very large homeless problem. And we see a social worker named Judy, who is the ultimate hero of this show, I feel. Judy is.
She tried.
Judy reminds me of Carol Channing.
Jude.
She's like Carol Channing talking to you. And she's a retired social worker.
Yeah, her lips were like Carol Channing.
Yeah, she kind of had that, like, I don't know, her talk like Carol Channing, you really know, and had like a hair.
Lips.
Yeah. Like Carol Channing
in Alice in Wonderland when she went,
yeah.
Bitches.
Yes.
Bitches. Yeah.
Carol Channing. So Judy is retired now, but she was working and as a social worker, and there was a current program where they were really trying to actually help get people either mental health help or in a clean home, you know, where they can have their own bed and just be clean and have something over their head and be fed.
The homeless shelters were full.
Yes. And so she worked kind of out of a detox, and there was this one gentleman there that didn't need the detox, but he was severely mentally ill, and his name was Bert Montoya, and she friended him and talked about his, you know, he had a hard life, and so he had been diagnosed with schizophrenia as a child.
Yeah, like 16-year-old.
And just had a hard life because he wouldn't take the medicine. It made him sick. She didn't even know how he ended up. He was in Florida as a child and then ended up in California. She didn't know, but she just knew Bert, you know, she wanted to help him. And so Bert said he would rather not be at detox. And he didn't need it for the drugs. He just wanted the bed. But he said he liked group homes, you know, and he wanted to find a group home. So she looked around and she heard excellent recommendations for this older gal that out of her house in Sacramento, she offered a group home shelter. And like she said, it just came extremely well recommended. And this lady's name was Dorothea Puente. And we see a photo of Dorothea Puente, and she's with these politicians at charitable events. And she looks like a Texas grandma.
Yeah.
Like white hair, kind of in a beehive in these pictures.
This ain't Texas.
Old Woo! Lady, big hot around. Glasses,
Woo!
Giant blue eyeshadow, red lips. And she looks like, oh, she's 80. You know,
she looks 100.
Yeah, 100 and 110. 80,
she looked like my great grandma Olson, yeah. But she was with politicians and had the bluest eyeshadow.
Oh, the bluest eyeshadow you've ever
ever.
Seen. And she often gave money to politicians. She donated tons to charity. And here's where we see another hero of the show. Detective John Cabrera, and I liked him a lot.
Me too.
I did say he's retired, but he must still be working. But he's he was really young when he saw this crime. And he said she would always have burrito Wednesdays and just offer free food to the neighborhood. And people were like, hot damn, this is awesome. And so she was like, holy shit, you know, this is great. And they show the outside of her house, and it's like this gorgeous, like,
really
old
cute.
Home, super cute. And this is where we see that the reenactments are cartoons. So they show the house as a cartoon. Dorothea She lived on the top floors, like her bedroom and her rooms were on the top floor of her house, and her tenants had different rooms, like at the bottom level of the house was just single rooms, and it had a bed and a TV and a chair, and it was clean. And what the people would do is usually if they were homeless or they were struggling, they got government checks of some kind, and she,
like Social Security,
right, would be signed over as the payee, and that your food and board and everything would just come out of that, and she would cast the checks for you and take out her rent or
and
whatever,
she made them dinner every night,
right? They got food the whole day, and she would cook
or,
it for them
every day. Yep.
And so when Judy went with Bert or whatever to go visit and see if it was a good home, Judy's like, well, she looks, I'm hearing all this great stuff about her. The home is large and clean. There's other people there that say they're happy and really like it. And she said, for Christ's sake, Dorothea then gets out a box. There's goddamn kittens in the box, and she's bottle feeding fucking kittens. And so Judy's like, well, holy shit, you can't get better than this. You know,
you can't.
Like, this looks amazing. And
you
so,
can't get better than it.
So, you know, she drops Bert off, and
Bert says, yeah, I want to do this.
Bert's like, this is great. He gets his own room, and he got his own chair and TV and bed and food. Mm-hmm. Judy even then sees there's this older gentleman there that she knows, and his name is John Sharp, and he's kind of a normal older guy. And he says, yeah, it's nice here. I like it. You know, it's great. And then they show another picture of Dorothea, and here's, she looks like Rose Nyland hair a little bit. She's got some old lady transitions, mm-hmm. like really,
they're
giant,
they're circle squares.
Glasses. Yes. And then again, eyeshadow that is the blue, the brightest blue you've ever seen, to where you have to shield your eyes.
She loved it.
And then red lipstick. So it's kind of, it's like, oh, it still looks older than Methuselah or some sort of oldest vampire on the planet, 5,600 years old, 6,000 years old.
Uh-huh.
And Dorothea tells Judy, I'm independently wealthy, and I just like to give back, and I like to take care of the people. And Judy's like, holy shit, well, this is too good to be true. She's like, well, for Christ's sake, sign him up. Bert got Social Security checks, and Dorothea Puente was made the payee like everyone else. She would cash it in the bank for him. And since Bert had zero contact with his family, zero. Mm-hmm. Dorothea helped him out like that. There was no one else. And Judy would often call like a couple times a week and talk to Bert. And Bert was saying how much he likes it there. And he's having a good time and he's making friends. And this is a nice, clean place. So one week she calls and Dorothea answers, and Judy says, yeah, I mean, just calling to chat to Bert, you know. And Dorothea says, well, you know, he's not here. And Judy says, well, where is he? Like, he doesn't, well, what do you mean? And Dorothea said, well, you know, he's in Mexico. And Judy's like, what the hell is he in Mexico? And she's like, well, some of the tenants, you know, went and they're staying with my brother in Mexico for fiesta. And then she hangs up, and Judy's like, holy shit, Bert didn't go to Mexico. There wasn't a whole busload of these mentally ill homeless going to Mexico for fiesta and staying on vacation. She's like, this doesn't make any kind of goddamn sense.
No, and
they don't have money. What are you doing?
Did we say before that there was actual real footage of Bert and Judy?
Yes.
Yeah. And so you could see he was not.
No,
like,
and he was not.
He heard voices. Like, he would say, the voices tell me to do this and whatever. Like, he was gentle, but he was very mentally ill. And he was an unmedicated schizophrenic
man.
And he wouldn't take it.
Would respond in one word sentences. He's so not going to party in
Judy
Mexico.
Judy was like, there's no way someone would take him to Mexico.
Well, he doesn't have any kind of ID or anything. You know, I mean. So Judy's like, well, this isn't right. And Dorothea said, you know, was like, well, he's going to be back, you know, by Friday, he'll be back. Call then. So she calls back, and then Dorothea said, well, I was wrong. He's going to come back next week. And then she calls back, well, I was wrong. He's going to be next week. And Judy said, shut up, bitch. hold your depends, pissy. If you don't produce Bert, you kitten-loving asshole, I'm going to call the goddamn police. And this was a Friday. So if Monday he would do not produce Bert, I'm calling the cops, and I'm going to file a missing persons.
Yeah.
So suck it. Yep. And here's where they had a cartoon of Dorothea Puente, and she hangs up the phone, and she's stroking a cat like a James Bond, and her eye, and you her know, and then she turns evil. And you can do that in a cartoon. Oh, it made it scary. Like she was just scary. So Judy says she gets into work Monday and the phone is ringing right away.
Yep.
And then she's like, some asshole on the other side says his name is Don Anthony. And he says, hey, just calling to tell you Bert, his family came and picked him up and he went home with them. And Judy's like, what the hell are you talking about? His family, they have no contact.
No,
this isn't true. So Judy's like, fuck you. And then Judy goes and talks to John Sharp, who is that older gentleman that lives at this shelter that she knew. And she gets John Sharp alone and she says, John, what happened to Bert? And John Sharp says, all I know is he's not here anymore. He disappeared months ago. And she's like, did a lot of you go to Mexico for a fiesta? And he said, hell no. No one went to Mexico. And then Judy said, what the hell is going on where you live? Is something weird happening? And John said, yes, something weird and something wrong is happening here. And all I know is Dorothea is digging a lot of holes.
Yeah.
She is just digging holes in the backyard. And Judy is like, loses her shit. But here's where the show kind of switches to Dorothea's story. So in 1929, they show.
So now in our heads, all I'm wondering at this point, at least me, I was like, how did she become independently wealthy? Why is she giving her money to political causes? Yeah, like I was just trying to figure out, like, what is this lady's story?
Right. So she was born Dorothea Gray in 1929 in California. And here's where I looked up, I mean, just Wikipedia, I think, but they showed a picture of her and her brother, and it looked like it was probably 1935 or something. And she looks like a little blondie, cute girl with a little blonde brother, it looks like. And they said this was Detective John was talking and saying, you know, she had been a hard Scrabble upbringing. No one uses hard Scrabble, but a few people do, like older people do. Hard Scrabble meant her parents were super fucked up. They were super terrible alcoholics. Dad died of tuberculosis and he would constantly like wave a gun around and saying he's going to kill the family or himself. Mom was a sex worker and just abandoned the kids after Dad died of tuberculosis. So the kids went to an orphanage where they were just had the shit raped out of them. They were raped the shit out of them constantly, sexually abused and abused, of course. Everybody, I mean, people always say, oh, the good old days of the 50s and the 40s and the 30s. Everyone's parents were booze hound alcoholics. Yeah. I mean, not everyone, but it just seems like, no, did you not remember that not every family was Leave It to Beaver? And that never happened.
Your kids up, you know, have a baby and put your kids up for adoption and be good. Like, no, it's not. The foster care system is horrifying sometimes.
Well, when she was 16, I know, and these poor kids are the ones that pay for it.
Right.
So when she was 16, she got married. She ended up having two daughters. They both daughters went up for adoption. Her husband ends up leaving her in 1948. And this is where Detective John, it kind of comes in with Detective John. By 19, she's in the system because she's arrested. She moves to Southern California and she's first arrested for felony forgery of fake checks. So she's just writing fake checks in order to, it looked like it said it was women's products. So she's probably just trying to buy
tampons.
Clothes. Or, well, you'd have a big belt with a pad.
Yeah, then. Were there even tampons then?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. So then Dorothea, so she's in the system. I don't think she went to jail at that point. But
she had a record.
She had a record. So then in 1950, and she married another husband. This is where they said she, in the 1950s, she portrayed herself as a Egyptian lady. I don't know how, because she had the greenest eyes and blonde hair. I mean, I guess, but she portrayed herself as like an Egyptian, like, princess type deal and made up a whole persona in California of this and became a sex worker and a madam. And so she was running a whole brothel as this Egyptian.
She was Heidi Fleiss before Heidi Fleiss.
This Egyptian lady, but she was married and just kept having men in. Her husband didn't give two shits, I guess.
Well, she was making money.
She was married four times throughout all this. Yeah. So she, in 1960, then finally gets arrested for being a madam, operating a brothel. She goes to jail for this. Then we jump ahead to 1982, and we see Assistant DA Bill Wood. And he talks about a man that he met or that came to him named Malcolm McKenzie. So Malcolm McKenzie got horny out one night and went to a bar and he picked Dorothea was there and he picks her up. And I mean, she had to look like a 110-year-old old lady, but he's going to pork this old lady.
Well, yeah. If yeah. she'll go
she
home with
was, you. Went home with him. Yeah. They had a few drinks and Malcolm realizes, holy shit, he's paralyzed and can't move, but he can see with his eyes, just like every kind of terrible sci-fi or old show where you get a drink, you're paralyzed. And so she gave him like our other Mickey Finn.
What's going on.
Yeah, but you can't move.
So 2 weeks in a row, or when did we have
Yeah, we had a Mickey Finn last time, I thought, too.
Yeah. Women are all about the Mickey Finns.
They're the way to go. And Puente just robs him. She just robs the shit out of him while he's just sitting there staring at her and doesn't get porked and leaves. And then when he finally can move again, he goes to the cops and she gets arrested.
He said that she pulled rings off of his finger and he was like just watching it happen, but he couldn't move.
Right. she was like, "Eat, suck it."
Yeah.
And then we have Dorothy's, I think, mugshot. And here she's a bit heavier because she has a turkey feed bag neck that is not attractive, that she didn't have from before.
She always looked 100.
Yeah, she has this big feed bag attached
to
her chin.
Even when she was 20.
Yes. But here she has the hottest glasses and she just looks like an old ass bitch. So she goes to jail a little bit for that because... They realized, was going around saying she was a nurse and fooling other old ladies, and she was cosplaying them and would bring in a medical bag like she's Doc Baker and had a medical bag and would go in and pretend with her medical bag and trade for chickens like Doc Baker, but then Mickey Finnum and rob the shit out of them. And so then she got arrested and she was like the Mickey Finn. It would have said, like, old bitch who was slipping Mickey's gets 5 years. And this was written up in the paper.
So she went to prison.
Yeah, she went to jail for this. And this is where Bill Wood, whose name was in the old bitch article, Mickey Finn bitch, and another guy named Bill contacts Bill Wood and says, Dorothea killed my mom. And so we get the story of Ruth Monroe, who they show a picture of, and she looks like Flo or whatever. Like she had a beehive, cat eye glasses.
Yeah, from Alice's Diner.
Yeah, and it had like a picture where she looked like she was hilarious.
It was just
Total
70s
mom. And she looked funny, like her eyes, her smile was like, this is a funny lady.
Smoking cigs in her
partying
kitchen,
and
drinking a beer.
So this was her son, Bill. So Bill tells the other DA Bill that his wife or his mom Ruth was this fun lady. She worked at a pharmacy for 13 years. She met her boyfriend named Harold and they start dating and going out, and Harold, they loved going to different bars around Sacramento, and Dorothea was a cook at one of their favorite bars called the Flame Club, and she was friends with Harold, and so Dorothea and Ruth became really good friends. Bill actually met Dorothea because Ruth hung out with her a lot. And he's like, oh, my God, she seemed great. She was like this kind old lady. In fact, she told me to call her grandma. And Dorothea and Ruth hit it off. And Ruth had like some money from her husband that maybe passed. Not Harold, but a husband, because she had some money, Bill said, quite a bit of money. Dorothea took this money and it said that she invested it into a cafe. but would keep telling Ruth, you know, the cafe's not running so well. We need more money, more money, more money, more money. And Ruth kept giving her more and more and more and more money. And so then Harold dies. Ruth doesn't want to live alone. So she actually moves in with Dorothea in this white house.
In the house that became the boarding house.
Yes. And Bill goes and visits her in the house. And at first she's doing great. They're roommates together. But he said the last 3 days, something was horribly wrong. So Bill goes to visit Ruth and she looks really sick and she's drinking an alcohol drink that's green. And Bill says, my mom never drank alcohol because it actually made her really sick, or she had a reaction to alcohol.
Even though she was at bars the whole whole life. But.
So he's like, mom, what are you drinking? And she's like, well, because the restaurant closed and, you know, I'm kind of nervous. Ruth gives me these drinks that calm my nerves. And Bill's like, oh, well, I mean, okay, whatever. And then he goes the next day. And
what did she... She said they were creme de menthe.
Yeah, creme de... Yeah.
It's like a liqueur. Yeah. Yeah.
Bill's like, well, whatever, you know. Bill goes the next day and Dorothy is just sitting at the kitchen table. He's like, well, where's my mom? And Dorothea says, well, she's sleeping. She's not feeling very well. So Bill starts going upstairs to her room and Dorothea does the old, don't go in there and disturb her. Let her sleep. Let her sleep, Bill.
She's so tired.
She's tired, Bill. And Bill is like, I'm not leaving here until I see my mom. And so Bill goes into his mom's room and she's in bed and all groggy and like can't even move and can't even talk. And so Bill, who was told by Dorothea that she's a nurse because she has Doc Baker bag, and he tells his mom, don't worry, mom, Dorothea's going to take care of you. You're okay. Like, he must just live with that in his head for the rest. I mean, I can't even.
Oof.
And the next morning, Bill's sister calls him and says, oh my God, mom is dead. Dorothea just called us and said she died and then said to come get her stuff. And so Bill's like, oh my God. And Bill goes and Dorothea just gives him her empty purse. That was it. She's like, here's her purse.
She took literally left everything to me. And so all they got was an empty
literally
purse
her
and
empty
her
purse.
Clothes.
Yeah, that's it. All her money, her jewelry, everything else in her life, Dorothea took. And Bill was like, what? And so the coroner comes and Dorothea tells the coroner that Ruth committed suicide. Her roommate committed suicide. Well, they do an autopsy and they find that she is full of fatal amounts of 1,000 drugs, pretty much. And so Bill just said she poisoned her to death, probably over time with these weird drinks. So that's when Bill went to DA Bill and said, Dorothea killed my mom. Can you do something about it? Well, DA Bill Wood, that was literally his last day of work. So he had to turn the case over.
Oh my God, the worst.
To homicide. And homicide said there's not enough proof that she didn't kill her, you know, that she didn't just drink this herself or whatever, you know, and we don't have proof for this. So that case in 82 couldn't go forward. And Bill was just stuck knowing this. Nothing could happen. Mm-hmm. So then 82 to 85, Dorothea is actually in jail for the Mickey Finn incidents, drugging all these people and robbing them. And then so 85, she gets out of jail. And it's against her parole to actually pretend to be a nurse and drug and rob people. They say, please don't do that anymore, Dorothea.
Also, it's illegal for any of us to do that.
Nobody
too.
Should really do
we
that.
We should
it's
not impersonate
too.
A medical professional.
No. And Cosby people and drug them.
No.
So because Dorothea had 1,400 last names of all her husbands, she kind of hid in paperwork. So that means no one ever checked on whatever the hell she was doing.
So like she had been convicted for 1,000 crimes, but they weren't all adding up every time she would break another law. They would think this is her first offense.
Right.
Even though it was her 12th offense.
So she actually got to run for 2.5 years. She ran this care facility in her home, which was totally against her parole. Well, and totally illegal because she couldn't anyway.
Right.
And no one had any idea. Even though she was donating to charities, paying politicians, in public about it, no one put Dorothea Puente with her other last names of these other crimes.
Like, these politicians were taking money from a former prostitute, madam, felon.
That drugged and robbed people.
Yeah, so they were like, come take your picture with us. Thanks for the money.
Yeah. Oh I mean, my God, they're dumb. So now we're back to 1988 where Bert moves in and Judy is finally like, fuck this. I'm filing a missing person report. And she and the police are on to her. Now we have Detective John Cabrera, who is homicide and missing persons.
Yes.
Goes to Dorothea's house and interviews everybody there and asks everyone, where the hell is Bert? Every single person there gives him the same answer. Bert went with his family. Now, when Detective John was going to leave, old man John Sharp that lives there slips Bert an envelope with a note on it that says, she's making us lie to you.
Yes.
So Detective John sees this and brings John Sharp into the police station.
And this is on camera. Yeah, so this is a real footage.
Real interview. And Detective John says to John Sharp, you know, what the hell is going on? And John Sharp just says, I don't know, but it's super fucked up there. It's just super fucked up. Something's really, really, really wrong. No one knows where the hell Bert is, but she made us lie and she threatened us. And so Detective John's like, okay. So he looks at Dorothy Puente's past and realizes, oh, holy shit, she's on federal parole. She just got out of jail for, you know, giving everyone knockout drops and Mickey Finns and robbing the shit out of them.
They kept calling them stupefying drugs.
Yeah. She gave the stupefying drugs to the people and then robbed the shit out of them.
Stupefying drugs.
And then he has Judy saying, fucking dig up the yard because I know she's killing these people and burying them in the yard. And so all of this stuff just like clicks in John's head. Like, holy shit, this is a mess. And this is what's happening. But we got to just prove it now. So Detective John's partner and Dorothy's parole officers go in and they pretty much say, bitch, hold up. What the hell is going on in this dump? And actually, it was a very nice dump. Sorry, ma'am. But what the hell is going on? And so Dorothea is like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just a 100-year-old lady just helping out the people. And they say, bitch, what is going on here? And Dorothea says, oh, no. I'm breaking my parole. I'm violating my parole because I'm helping people and I'm running a boarding house. And they're like,
oh. I just want to help people.
They're like, okay. And then the parole officer is kind of stunned she said that, but John's like thinking in his head, well, fuck off, bitch. I'm going to try to look around this house. So he says, well, can I just look around then? You know, it seems like, oh, you're trying to help the people, but can we just look around and get out of your hair? And so Dorothy is like, well, sure. So John says, I'm looking in every nook and cranny trying to find Bert, like where she stashed his body. Like he's looking under beds and everything. And he said, they show a picture of her room that is straight up mess.
Oh,
she has Gina Tay all over the counters. Gina Tay, Gina Tay, Gina Tay. Old lady lotions, 1,000 old lady clothes laying all over. And then John says, drawers open and everywhere. And John says, there were blue pills, literally capsuled pills everywhere.
That were pulled apart so you could see the pieces of the red and blue pill capsule.
Pills everywhere. Pills, 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 pills. And so we sprayed.
But there was nothing in them. They were just open.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, and the capsule's still there.
Yeah.
And he is like, oh, no. And he sprays some Gina Tay on him and goes out and says, Dorothea, can we dig in your yard? And Dorothea goes, well, why? And he's like, well, you know, like Judy that. You know, Judy's looking for Bert. She says, you know, you killed him and buried him in the yard.
Oh,
we just want to like be like, oh, God, no, she didn't. Get out of your hair. And Dorothy is like, well, sure, go ahead. Well, they had brought shovels and came prepared. And since there were three of them, he said there were three of us with three shovels. We start digging. And
he's, now, this is when I thought, fucking cops, these detectives.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine you're wearing your suit and tie? And you're going out to do interviews, and then you're like, just joking, I'm going to dig in the Sacramento.
He had no gloves doing this the first one, because I looked at the pictures. He had no gloves doing this first one.
And hats off to detectives.
Oh, he's, yeah. He's in his fucking suit. Yes. So he's digging and he finds garbage and with his bare hands. So he's pulling this out like garbage. He said, then there's paper. And then all of a sudden there's like this ripped clothing that looks pink. And he's pulling it all out. And he has, there's pictures of this little pile he's making.
Yes.
And
real life pictures.
And then he said, there are these like leather bits that were like beef jerky. And he's pulling them out with his bare hands, pulling out these leather bits that were like beef jerky, pulling them out out of the dirt. Again, there's a pile of it in a real picture of it. And he says, he looks up and there's Dorothea on her balcony, like just staring at him, giving him the stink eye. And then so he starts digging even harder and he hits something like clunk. And he just says, I reached in with my hands and just started fucking yanking. And he pulls out a human leg.
Oh, my God.
And so then he's like, wrap her up. He's like, we hit skeleton. We got human remains. And he calls in the whole everybody.
Yeah.
And then...
And like FBI, Secret Service.
Coroner, everything.
Everyone was there.
Anthropologists come in the next day. And then the producer says, what were those leather bits you hear in the background? Yeah. And John goes, that was skin, human skin. I was pulling off of the corpse with my bare hands. I screamed.
Yeah.
Can you imagine pulling off dried beef jerky corpse skin in a hole? With your bare hands?
And then... going home that night and being
thinking
like,
you're gonna eat fried chicken with your hands
and hug your wife and kids
and you smell like corpse.
Oh,
how do you ever touch something with your hands again?
I don't know.
So Dorothea, they take Dorothea in for questioning and we have real video of them interviewing her. And she just like, I don't know anything about nothing.
A very, very young John Cabrera.
Oh, he's a baby face.
Yeah, he is still, his hair hasn't gone gray yet. He has black hair and he is like, what's going on?
Dorothea. And so Dorothea just keeps going, I'm just an old lady. I don't know what you mean. And they're like, John says, I know what I mean. You kill people and bury them in your backyard. And she's like, I can't do that. I'm an old lady. Well, Judy says, this whole time I'm thinking this bitch is 1,000. This bitch is my age. She was 58, 59.
She made herself look
so
old.
She would disguise herself to look like an old bitch and she was young. Well, you know, 59, that's not old. She was the same age as Judy. And she would wear like old lady glasses, wear old lady clothes, like vintage old lady clothes she would buy. She dyed her hair gray.
Yeah, her dresses looked like they were from the 50s, even though it was the 80s.
Like she purposely, it was like a costume she put on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she was strong enough to like kill men and dig holes and bury them in the yard because she was young and could do that. And so that was her shtick and she had gotten away with it. And then John is saying like the whole time she's totally emotionless. Like if you're told like, are you killing people and burying them in your yard and you're actually innocent? You would be like, no, holy shit. But she just lied to his face and he said she never flinched, totally emotionless and just was like super weird. They didn't have enough to arrest her. And then they even saying in the news report, they were like saying, she's not even a suspect. Well, come on.
It's dead body in the back of her yard. Just kidding.
Come on.
However, didn't they know that this dead body was not Bert?
It wasn't Bert because it was older. Yeah,
they were like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know. It's just...
Yeah. I don't know who it is.
John was like, how many bodies are in your backyard? She's like, I don't know. I didn't know that one was there.
And so John knows they're going to find more. So the second day... there's an anthropologist and a whole like tons and tons and tons of people and they start digging everything up. So Dorothea then asks, she wants to talk to Detective John if they're at her house digging. So he goes over and she's in this red coat with her purse and she's like, well, can I go to the cafe to have some coffee? It's my nephew's cafe. It's just across the street. John's like, well, she wasn't arrested. So he walks her over there. But right then he comes back and they find a second body. And then they say, well, where's Dorothea? Like, we're arresting her now, this bitch. And John's like, well, I just walked her over to the cafe. So they go over there and she's gone. She'd taken off.
Out.
Well, of course. So they put a be on the lookout, a bolo for her. And then they show John on video pulling out human fingers out of the hole.
Oh, God.
And that was Bert. So they had found Bert.
Yeah, they said they found just like this giant massive skeleton, and it was him because he was a bigger guy.
So they pull out Bert, and then Judy, they show Judy, and she's just devastated because she's like, I brought him to his death.
Yeah, she felt
bad. Felt so awful.
She cried.
She was crying and crying, and she's like, but I didn't know she was a serial killer. Yeah. Well, of course not, you know, but she feels like I brought him there.
Yeah.
So she was just completely devastated, and I think she knew that's what they were going to find, but she just was still devastated. They end up digging up 7 bodies in her backyard. That is tiny backyard. I mean, it's a tiny backyard.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't even fit 7 people in the backyard standing.
And they would, and it was like an actual garden over the dead bodies too. Like, her neighbors were like, she had the most beautiful tomatoes.
Well, that dumb bitch on the neighbor on the TV went, her tomatoes. She said she had tomatoes in the garden. What are you talking about? There are tomatoes in the garden, but there's dead bodies in the garden.
The dead bodies.
But she's talking about the tomatoes.
It.
And she poured concrete over them too. This woman was mixing up concrete, like, as an 80-year-old, pretending to be an 80-year-old, just working like Pa Ingalls.
Yeah.
Real
admirable.
Yeah.
Then played the fiddle at night.
Yeah.
To make Half Pint laugh.
Man, she had the energy. They show parts of the John Sharp original interview when they pulled him in, and he said, by the way, her house reeks like death. I used to work at a mortuary, so I know that smell. Like, her house reeks like dead body. And so the detectives go in, and he said he was walking in her house after they were starting to find all these bodies, and he was the carpet was like squish, quack, 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 squishy. So he pulls up the top layer of rug. There's another layer under there, and the rug is like soaked in like dead corpse blood juice.
Yeah, he said, then I smelled the smell.
It was like corpse.
Smelled like 4 times in my life.
Yeah. So that's where she would like process the corpse. And she did cut up some of them. So some of them were cut up in the hole to make room. Like they were in pieces.
Did.
Yes, I read. And then she would pour lye and lime on them, but she'd cut them up on that floor and then just cover it up with a rug.
Yeah.
And it just stank like death. So then Dorothea takes off. She's found a few days later in L.A. Someone recognized her on TV and said she's at this bar in this hotel, and they went and arrested her. So the cops go and pick her up in L.A. and drive her back up to Sacramento, where they also find, now that she's all over TV as this murdering grandma with dead bodies in her yard, this other family calls Detective John and says, holy shit, our relative, his name is Emerson Gilmeth or whatever, he was engaged to her and we never heard from him again. Is he dead in the yard? And they're like, well, they find out that in 85, when she got out of jail, she gets engaged to this guy, Emerson. He moves in with her, and 3 weeks later, she kills him.
These people with their jailhouse letters.
Right. She kills him and dumps his dead body in another county in the river. And so he's found in 86 as a John Doe and just sitting there unidentified. And then now that this family says, oh, my God, like, did she kill him? So they go back and identify the John Doe as her fiance, this Emerson guy in 88. And realized she killed him probably in 85 and had been writing fake letters to his family saying he's fine. Oh, my God.
And she would write long ones and make up the actual letters.
All the shit they'd been doing. Making up shit about
him. She was a real storyteller.
No kidding. So they're like, holy shit. Like, all these bodies are coming. So by the time they get through all these cases with Emerson and with Ruth, they have in the 7 bodies in her yard, she is arrested on account of 9 counts of murder. Now, Dorothea's story is like, I don't know, all these dicks just died in their sleep, and I just couldn't, I'm on parole, so I couldn't call the cops or just cut them up and buried them in my backyard. And anybody would have done it.
Then I cashed all the checks and kept, that's how I kept my house.
Right. Yeah, she had taken in hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Using their money.
Well, yes.
And making it look like she was a benefactor of right. all these great causes.
Well, she'd kill them right away and just keep cashing their checks.
Making burritos for everyone right. on Wednesday
and it's
with
probably
their
kitten
money.
Meat burritos.
Oh, no.
Probably. So they have a whole trial. And one of the jurors is a dumbass bitch. So she's only guilty for three of the murders because one of the jurors believes her story that they just died in her sleep and anybody would have cut them up and buried them in their yard.
So that person really thought she only killed
three of
the eight.
Yeah, because he was a man.
That doesn't even make like
no.
which three did he believe?
Make sense.
No, what an idiot.
And they even said this guy fell for her shtick even when she was on trial.
And so
he's
they
a dumbass.
Named the three people that she said she killed, and the other ones apparently
died in their sleep,
on.
And she just you know cut them up and buried them in the yard as you do. So she went to jail, and she died in 2011, like at 82, and she'd looked 82 her whole life. Yeah. So
I thought she was 82 in the 70s.
I mean, what this was a so this is a psychopath woman.
And John Cabrera said that when they had picked her up, when they arrested her, she got in the back of the car with him. And she said she like basically confessed.
Yeah.
And said, like, I'm sorry for doing it or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm sure you are, but you still did it.
Right. And they even, like, in video, and he said she probably, that was probably true, like a moment of something true, she said. But then she said, I used to be a good person.
Yeah.
And
she's
I'm like
once I was.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Well, like, right? Like, she had to resort to doing bad things to stay alive. She had no family. She had childhood trauma.
Yeah.
I just am not down with the murdering.
No. No, the murdering.
Like,
was
she could have kept him alive and still kept taking their checks, but it was like she just wanted to.
Randy! Oh, sorry.
Oh, Randy.
No, well, no, she was. And I mean, she just. Was
she
needed
to keep taking in more people
she
while
didn't
she
care
was still
about the
pretending
people at
the
all.
Other ones
yeah.
were alive.
Of course.
So she could just double her money or
they were just
her
means
money.
To an end. She didn't care about them at all.
But it's weird that she didn't kill the other, you know, like she killed certain ones and then that one guy was there forever.
Right. Like she didn't kill him.
Yeah.
I know.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Weird.
But yeah, that's our story.
Well, Dorothea.
Suck it.
That was a one that was. That was the story of all stories
I know.
Of female killers for
no
our
kidding.
Month. Next month is April, and we're going to go back to
suck-ass
being
husbands.
Dicks. Yeah.
Husbands being fucking assholes.
So we talked a little bit about this, about our Facebook group. We do have a Patreon account if you want to check us out on
yes.
Patreon. We have a link tree and you can find that on our Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff and find us on Patreon. It's always the Husband Podcast. We would love your donations to help us produce this podcast because it's so high tech.
Otherwise, we have to go to your house and give you cream to mint, bury you in the yard and take your money.
And besides Patreon, we also have a book club, which we will be celebrating tomorrow. Our book club is a all spoilers all the time book club, but we love it when people come, whether you read the book or not. It's
right.
on Zoom. We tune in from all across the world.
Yeah.
Or at least in the United States and Canada so yeah. far. Have we had anyone else from
afar? I don't know.
No.
I don't
we
think
meet
so.
At it's because of time. We meet at 7:30 Central. 7:30 Central on Tuesday, March 26th. You can find the Zoom link on our Facebook group page if you want to join. This month we read The Push.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I just finished
you
it
did?
Today. I loved it. So
I know.
Far, it's my second favorite, second to Vampire.
It's so just...
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
I just thought it was really well
yeah.
written, too. I really loved
yeah.
it. I love it.
That's what I thought. I was curious what people would think because it's kind of like, holy shit. That's what I said. You just kind of go, oh shit.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
I loved it. I thought it was really well. It made me kind of feel sick at times.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I had a tummy ache and I was like, I don't know if I can finish this.
I know it was.
Because it's about mothers and
it's a
trauma and
heart.
So good.
You're like, what would you do?
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
So good. So we're talking about that tomorrow. I have to get my hair did tomorrow. So if I might have to tune in from my chair.
All right.
And
you
just
better.
Look and be like,
you better
have my hair in foils. I'll see if I'm done. Wait,
I thought you were just going gray, like your pubes.
I was, but then I decided yesterday that I look hideous.
Ooh,
look at it. I feel bad about myself again.
No. Well, you do whatever you
want.
Is
it just my hormonal menopause?
Yes. You don't look bad at all. Well, Randy is molesting my microphone here.
Yeah.
So,
thanks for tuning in. Join us at Book Club Tuesday, March 26th, 7:30 Central Time on our Zoom. And again, check us out on
socials.
Yep, and
we'll be back with Dick Husbands next week.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Yeah.